The title of this message is Strange Reasons for Being Thankful. And I invite your attention to our first text this morning, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. And as you turn, I want you to listen to some words from John Henry Jowett. He says of gratitude or thanksgiving, gratitude is a vaccine and an antiseptic. Gratitude prevents the invasion of a disgruntled attitude. It destroys the poison of fault-finding and grumbling. When troubles have smitten our spirits, a spirit of thanksgiving is a soothing antiseptic. A spirit of thanksgiving. If I were to move from pew to pew this morning and ask you, for what are you thankful this morning? I'm absolutely sure that you might be able to move through certain things that you are thankful for. I suppose that one of the things that I am extremely thankful for, and it brings some tears of joy to my heart, I think that at the end of this month, it would have been 5 years since I came here. 5 years. And in 5 years, I have learned to cry with some of you. I have learned to laugh with some of you. I have learned to grieve with some of you. I've learned to hope with some of you. And I thank God for every moment of it. And I'm looking forward, and I don't say this facetiously or giving any kind of little hints. I look forward to being here until God calls me home, or until you say, we don't want you anymore. I am committed to the place that God has called me to serve, and I want to serve with all my might, with all my conviction, with all my energy, to interfere absolutely nothing, to interfere with the call which God has given to me and to my family. And I want to thank you for opening your hearts and your homes, and some of you, even more than that, you've opened yourselves to us. I know that I don't know some of the things that are some of the people who have done some of the things. Someone returned a kind act not too long ago when there was a need that was not known to anybody in our family. But God laid it upon somebody's heart, and they responded so generously without any hint from me or from my family, that I can assure you. That makes me very, very grateful that God has called me to be a part of your experience, and I trust that you are thankful that we have been a part of yours. So we come this morning to the theme of thanksgiving. For what are you thankful? For whom are you thankful? Why are you thankful? Paul gives us two reasons. I call them, and they're outlined for you in your bulletin, the motivation for thanksgiving and the mystery of thanksgiving. For our first meditation, will you turn, please, to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, as we think for a few moments on the motivation for thanksgiving. Please look, if you please, at the first five verses. I will read, however, from 3 to 5. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always offering prayers with joy in every prayer of mine for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. The first reason for thanksgiving from the life of Paul, writing to the Philippian church, was he was thankful because of his association with them. He was thankful to God because his life was touched by those of the Philippian church. These people caused Paul to be elated in his spirit. They lifted him up to the place where, in the midst of his circumstances, the thing that meant the most to him was the fact that he had touched bases with them in his experience, and they had touched bases with him. Now let me give you a little background of the book of Philippians. Paul is in prison. The prison situation, my friends, in those days were not like the prison situations today. I heard just recently of some prisoners that went on strike because they wanted steak once a week. They couldn't live in the days of Paul. There were absolutely no rights, no privileges at all given to those who were incarcerated by the jail system of that day. He was actually chained between people in two or three cells beyond his own. He was limited. In fact, he was not there because he had committed any crime. He was there for proclaiming the wonderful message of salvation. And because those who were using people were no longer able to do so, because of the liberating gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul was put in prison. And in Acts chapter 16, we're told that he is singing. He's lifting his heart to praise, with praise to God. He's ecstatic, if you please, not because he's in prison. Because while he was in prison, he started to remember those at Philippi. In fact, the word for remembering there is a word which speaks of recounting. It is a word which speaks of someone reciting a poem. And Paul started to go over in his mind the names and the faces of people at Philippi who had touched his life, and immediately there was a sense of celebration right in the midst of the prison where he was. His association with these people motivated him to give thanks to God. My friends, I ask you this morning, as you contemplate in your minds this morning this great day of Thanksgiving, can you begin to recount in your minds right now? Can you begin to recount in your minds right now those who actually would cause you to stand where you are and say, I thank God on every remembrance of. I thank God. My spirit is lifted right to the very throne of grace, to the throne of glory, where God is in the midst of my circumstances, my hurts, my defeats, my disappointments, all the things I'm experiencing right now. I am going to take time to remember certain people. My wife and I were talking about that this past week. And without a moment, my friends, of any embarrassing at all, we were just talking about this past week. And I said to my wife, again and again, I thank God upon every remembrance of Dr. Stuart Beamer. A profound influence upon my life. He was the speaker at my ordination. And he gave me a little plaque after the graduation, after the ordination service. And he used to call me Winston, my boy. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he added his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. I shall never forget, dear friends, I was invited to speak at Pape Gospel Church not too long ago, just before his homegoing. And I wanted to see him so badly. And I went to the front desk and I said, I wonder if it's possible to see Dr. Beamer. And the lady at the front desk looked at me very strangely. Who could this guy be? I said, I was speaking at the church today and I would like to see him if I may. Just tell him that Winston would like to spend just a moment with him. And I could hear on the phone, he said, yes, send him up. And I got in the elevator, trembling in my boots. Now, what will I say to this man? Oh, my friends, his presence calmed my fears. And as I walked into the room, he greeted me. Winston, I have heard wonderful news of your message today. And as we talked and talked, I was getting ready to leave because I noticed he was getting tired. He said, Winston, would you pray for me before you leave? Friends, I tell you, that humbled me. A man whom I hold in highest esteem and glory now. But the memory that I have of him causes me, my friends, that I want to be faithful to God. I want to be true to God. I give thanks upon every remembrance of Dr. Stuart Beamer. Can you think of someone for whom you give thanks this morning? Strange reasons for giving thanks. People. In the 1980s, my friends, it used to say, "Oh, to live with saints above, that will be glory. Ah, but to dwell with some saints below, that's another story." But I know saints for whom I am thankful. And when I remember them in my circumstances, I am elevated to the throne of God. Strange reasons for being thankful. Can you think of anyone, my friends, this morning who causes your heart to go to God right now? You see, his association with the saints elevated him. When they walked with him, when they talked with him before he was in prison, they caused him to treasure the relationship so that when he was in jail, he could sing because he memorized their names, memorized their faces, and recounted that in prison. Well, secondly, they were enthused about their responsibility. They were elevating in their relationships with him, but they were enthused about their responsibility with him. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you for your fellowship, our participation in the gospel." My friends, what is happening here? Paul is saying, "As I was with you in Philippi, you elevated me in my spirit, but there was something else. You were enthusiastic about the gospel which I brought to you. You shared with me in spreading that gospel news." In chapter 4, when no other church would remember him, these people, out of their meager means, would send for Paul that which was necessary to help him spread the gospel. They took the spreading of the gospel seriously. They took their church work seriously. They were committed to the ministry of the local church, so much so that Bishop Mole writes, "They were actively cooperating with Paul through their prayers. They were actively cooperating with Paul through their energy. They were actively cooperating with Paul through their giving." They not only talk about spiritual things. The conversation about spiritual things, my friends, were translated into physical things so that they were able to share with Paul. And in chapter 4, verse 18, St. Paul said, "When no other church would share with me, you gave out of your meager means so that the gospel would be spread." Oh, dear friends, can we apply that to our hearts this morning? It might be that we might be thankful to people for several things, several meaningful things. But are we thankful to people because they actually translated spiritual things into physical commitment and actually displayed in their lives a commitment to prayer, a commitment to giving, a commitment to being active in the local church? At the risk of embarrassing somebody, or again, at the risk of leaving somebody out, there comes to mind, my friends, can you think of anyone more enthusiastic about this work than Dory Pilkey? I didn't plan to say that. But can you think of anyone, my friends, who gives of herself again and again and sacrifice time? And sometimes you think, where in the world did she get the energy from? But she's committed to her Lord and she's committed to her church. And it has worked out, my friends, in practical ways that have affected you and affected me. And I can say that of others of you. But many of you talk to me about Dory. Good ways, Dory. How she motivates, how she gives and gives and gives. And my friends, Eric lives with her. So if Eric, I don't know if Eric is saying, is that Dory I live with? I don't know. But I know this, my friends, I can say this. In my 5 years, in calling at any time, I have never gotten the feeling of a complaining spirit from this lady. Never. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you and others of you. Strange reasons for giving thanks. I tell you, friends, there are churches today where there are fights, bickering, backbiting, and oh, I want to be able Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, right through to Sunday, I want to be able, my friends, to sit in my office and to give thanks upon every remembrance of you all. And I trust that it's mutual, not only with you and me, but with you and one another. Well, Paul's association with the saints at Philippi elevated his spirit. Their enthusiasm elevated his spirit. Now, look, secondly, my friends, that he was thankful because of his prayers for the saints. Intercessions for the saints, not only association, but intercession. What is intercession? Intercession is to stand between a need and the answer to that need, and to remain there until there is an answer to the need. Listen to how Paul puts it. In view, verse 4, always offering prayer with joy in my prayers for you all. Now, prayers are hard enough in and of itself. But to fall on your knees and to feel a sense of spiritual ecstasy as you go to God on the behalf of another, that, my friends, is a work of grace. That is a work of grace. Look at what Paul says. There is the thrill of praying when I remember you. The thrill of praying. That's what the word joy means. It means, my friends, that he had the sense of joining with them. And he had the sense of being with them. And there was a delightful cheerfulness in his heart as he bent his knees before the throne of God and he remembered these people. Paul said there was the inward serenity of comfort and joy and cheer and delight as I pray to God for you. Prayers being a thrilling experience as it's related to others in the church. What a joy it is, my friends. What a joy when we have risen to that place where we see prayers as the means of remembering others before God, and in so doing, enjoy the privilege of doing so. I used to spend much of my summers in the 70s and 60s and 70s and part of the 80s in Oregon. I worked with the American Sunday School Union and was a student pastor for the Alliance Church in a place called Bly, Oregon, not far from where my wife is from, and I add to say I didn't know her at that time. Knew her parents, but I didn't know her. And there was one lady I will never forget. She would say to me again and again in her letters, she's home in glory now. The last time I was leaving, in fact, she said, Winston, I want to pray that God will use you mightily, but I know that God never uses anyone mightily without hurting them deeply. And for that reason, I'm going to spend my time praying for you. And she used to pray for me again and again and again and again. And it was a thrill for me to know that she was praying for me. But my friends, I will stand before you this morning and say it was a thrill for me to return the favor to God in remembering her before the throne of grace. To pray for someone brings joy, delight, ecstasy. So there was the intercession, there was the association. Strange reasons for being thankful. Well, the mystery of praying. That's the motivation. People are my motivation for being thankful this Thanksgiving Sunday. But I want you to see, my friends, the mystery of praying, and we turn now to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now this is a mystery, friends. In everything give thanks. If we give thanks in everything, either we are off our rockers, or we have a reason for doing so. I have two thoughts to share with you from this. In the sphere of Thanksgiving, I have the time for Thanksgiving. There is no set time. In everything, give thanks. The place of Thanksgiving, there is no place. Wherever you are, at any time. And I have chosen to tell you a story this morning of Martin Reichardt. He was born on the 28th of April in the year 1583. He was brought up in the church where Sebastian Bach was the choir master. And he worked his way through university. And when he was 31, he was called back to Eilenburg, I think is the name of the place, to be the pastor of the church. But just as he entered there, I think there was a 30-year war, from 1618 to 1648. The place had been invaded by Austria, twice invaded by Sweden. And when he got there in 1637, there was a pestilence. You see, Eilenburg is a walled city in Germany. And because of its walledness, if you please, people used to go there from all the surrounding areas to escape the invasion. The place became such a crowded place that in 1637, a tremendously devastating, deadly pestilence took place. Hundreds and hundreds of people died. He, Martin Reichardt, was the only minister left. He used to conduct 4,500 funeral services. He had conducted 4,500 funeral services during that time, in 1 year. He used to conduct 40 or 50 funeral services a day. In the midst of that pestilence, in the midst of the invasion, at one time he stood before one of the generals of the Swedish army who had leveled a levy on the people of Eilenburg. They could not pay it. So he went to the general and asked if he would lower his demand, and he would not. And Reichardt took his little congregation, knelt in front of the general and started to sing. Because you see, during that time he had written a hymn. A hymn which I'd like you to turn to in your books. Number 36. It was written in the midst of a famine. It was written, my friends, when he was conducting 50 funeral services a day. He was written when his city was invaded, when there was a pestilence. It was written in the midst of this circumstance, in everything. Here's the mystery of Thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. Where? In Eilenburg. When? Right now. When they're making demands upon your life that you cannot respond to. He wrote this hymn at that time. The first verse speaks about gratitude to God. The second verse speaks about thanks and makes a petition. And the third verse gives glory to God. Remain seated as we sing verses 1 and 2. And I want you to stand to sing verse 3. Remember how it was written in the midst of pestilence, of death, of demands that were not met. Now thank we all our God. When he sang that hymn, the general said, your request is granted. This is the mystery of thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. The sphere, there is no time, there's no territory. We are to give thanks in everything.